There is a two-player simultaneous... Oh, my God. There is a two-player simultaneous... Oh, my God.
English.
This is how I fix this.
Welcome to episode 13 of One More Podcastle, a podcast that's worth about $7.39 on the black market. My name is Eric Bailey. I am the boss at the end of level 8 and the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer where you just need to add water.
I am Jason Lamb, and I write about PC games, and I am the 39 cents of that $7.39.
Oh, come on, Jason. You're worth more than that.
Yeah, I totally value more highly than that. Definitely.
If anything, I'm the 39 cents.
No, Hunter. No way. You're like 40 cents at least.
Okay.
At least.
42, maybe.
Tree Fitty?
Yeah, I'll give you Tree Fitty.
I gave you Tree Fitty. Well, hey, guys.
Hey, Hunter.
Long time no talk to you on headphones and microphone.
Yeah, it's totally been a longer time than normal.
Yes.
Not too sure why.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are,
Flux capacitor went out, so...
Yeah, the clones are attacking zombies.
The clones are attacking.
These clone zombies?
That'd be the worst.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Ugh, no thanks. Speaking of terrible, you guys played any old video games lately or what?
Hunter.
Am I always first? Is that the thing?
I think so.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That's why I always hesitate. I've been playing some retro games.
Like what?
What have I been playing? Oh, so it's not, I guess it's not really a retro game. What's the cutoff date again? 2000?
2000.
All right. Well, this is 2005. So let's just imagine that we're 5 years into the future.
Okay.
And I've been playing Killer 7 for the PlayStation 2.
Oh, okay.
Anybody out there played it?
I have not played it, sorry.
It's a cel-shaded shooter, right?
Yeah, so it's it was part of the whole Capcom Nintendo debacle when the GameCube came out. Apparently they had made a pact that Capcom was going to make 3 or 4 games exclusively for the GameCube because the second the GameCube came out, it was like sales were already down. So this was one of the games. Killer 7, PN number 3 was the other one, and that was the only two that they ever did. But anyway, so they ported it to the PlayStation 2 because Capcom knew they were going to make more money. The story of the game... Actually, let me just bring it up because it'll be a lot easier if I read it.
It's by Grasshopper Studios, isn't it?
Yeah, it was Pseudo 51. It was his first game. Yeah. Okay, so plot... Killer 7 takes place in an alternate version of Earth. Okay, so the planet Earth has finally come to terms of global peace. Everybody's friends and no more fighting and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, so there's a kind of like a terrorist group out there that they call this Smiling Faces was what their original name was. And then they changed it to the Heaven Smile, where basically they just go around creating terror, which is all fine and dandy. And the Killer 7 are 7 guys who get together who are assassins who are set out to destroy the Heaven Smile. Now, you don't find out any of this until Chapter 2 or what they call Target Number 2. So you're just thrown into the game, and I'm telling you guys, it is the weirdest, creepiest game I've played in a long, long time. Like, everything's about blood. So, like, when you kill a Heaven Smile, you get their blood, and you can exchange the bloods for upgrades for your guys. Every character has a different weapon, and they have a special ability. Like, one guy can jump really far. There's a girl in there who cuts her wrists and sprays her blood on the wall so you can find an opening. Yeah,
it's a game I haven't played, but the reputation it has, that sounds about right.
So... And just to try to I hate genres to begin with, and everything, video games, music, movies. But trying to put this game in a box is almost impossible. Like, it is kind of a rail shooter where you're kind of on the same path. Whoa. And then you can kind of make it.
Hold on.
Let me keep going. So, but you can decide where you go. Like, and then when you go to shoot, it's a first person shooter. And then there's puzzles and there's like horror aspects to it.
Is it something I need to do drugs before I play?
No, hurt. But the game will make you feel like you're on drugs for sure.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like, I don't even, I enjoy playing it. I can't not play it.
I have to bring up, for someone who has very much stated their hatred of rail shooters, this is the second week in a row where you've brought a rail shooter to what you've been playing.
Actually, no, Jason, it's only the first week. That second week never happened.
You're right.
Oh, that's so confusing.
Oh, God.
It's all about that flux capacitor breaking down.
We are going to screw up the space-time continuum, I tell you, because I can't keep all of our straight. Whew.
But anyway, other than that, I kind of gave up on playing Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah,
fair enough.
It's a fun game. I would promote it. It's very intuitive. I'm just not a big fan of puzzle games unless if it like really ropes me in. And like, there was enough in the game for me to keep playing. I think I got like to level 3.10, whatever that means. I got tired of playing it, so I put it down.
Yeah, for me, I guess I'm such a platformer purist. I finished it, I think, in two nights. It just bulldozed right through. But even for me, as someone who enjoys the gameplay and the story from Thomas Was Alone, I feel like it reaches its crescendo about halfway through. So for me, like, good game, recommend it, but odd pacing.
Yeah, I'll never get to halfway through the game.
Cool.
How about you, Jason?
What have I been playing? Other than new games, I
boo.
Played some...
Boo.
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 What are new games? They're still making games?
I don't know.
Video games don't exist.
I've took some time to play some original Command & Conquer.
Oh.
In HTML5.
What?
Someone ported the original Command & Conquer to HTML5.
Wow. That's like from impressive.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I can't imagine from scratch having to... Ugh.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's a lot of tags.
It's the full game. I also found... Dune 2 and a bunch of Atari games in HTML5.
Now, are they like, how accurate would you say they are? Like 99.9%, or is it a noticeable difference somehow?
With the Command & Conquer, you're missing all of the full motion cutscenes.
He's pretty much
just recreated the levels without any of the narrative in between. But they're, from what I've seen, they're pretty dead on. The article I wrote this week for tomorrow, which will be Friday in the past for when this comes out.
Oh.
I know. It was actually on it.
Cool.
They're pretty cool.
I look forward to having had read that.
Yes.
In the future.
But
in
the past.
When do you hear this?
Yes.
Flux capacitor.
Flux capacitor.
Clux capacitor.
Burger.
I thought HTML5 was dead.
What?
Yeah, I thought
it's no, it's the new. I just made an HTML5 joke on Twitter like 20 minutes ago.
I saw.
It's the new big thing.
Yeah, HTML5, man. It's the future.
I thought that once Facebook gave up on it, it was done.
What? Facebook gave up on it?
Yeah, I think Facebook was using it for like their mobile app on the iPhone or something, and it wasn't working correctly, so they gave up on it, and I thought that was the death of HTML5.
Oh, no.
Kind of like Flash with Apple.
No, I mean, HTML5 is the future.
So I got to start making games for it.
Pretty much. You can play Mario in HTML5.
That's weird.
I know. It's just a web page.
It is weird. Well, I've been playing an old game lately.
What have you been playing?
Do you guys ever give a game a second chance and find that you truly do appreciate it more or you actually do like it?
No.
No, I usually end up hating it like I did originally.
Well, it's funny you mention it, because that's what happened to me. I gave a game a second chance. I'm like, no, this game is still pretty dumb, and I don't understand it.
Nice. Which game?
Clue Clue Land on NES.
Clue Clue Land.
CLU Land. It was one of the original launch titles, and exactly like Killer 7, it is very unique. I would describe it as a puzzle game. Some would call it an action puzzle game. So here's my attempt at an unscripted description of the game. You play this fish-lobster hybrid in an overhead view in a grid-based level-by-level setting. And you're always moving forward. And there's pegs that form the rows and columns, or the borders thereof. And so the only way you can change your direction is to stick your claw out, and then when you hit one of these pegs, you start turning around it, and then when you release the directional pad, you go forward in another direction. The goal on each level is to pass over the peg gaps over which the hidden gems are hidden. They look exactly like rupees from Legend of Zelda. And you're supposed to find all of the hidden jewels to form some kind of picture. For example, the first level forms a smiley face. But you have a time limit, and there's enemies, but you have a ray gun you can shoot out of your face to dispose of the enemies. But sometimes there's these invisible bumper things that suddenly throw you backwards when you're not expecting it. And it's a really strange game.
I'm watching a video of it right now.
Yeah?
Oh my god, it looks awful.
Yeah, it's an early game. It's
like a weird Pac-Man ripoff, kind of.
But it's
annoying.
It's clearly something where the Nintendo developers very early on were like, well, we have to have a game in the launch lineup that's like Pac-Man, but different enough that no one will accuse us of aping Pac-Man, you know? Like, well, we're not going to eat any pellets, but we'll move over some jewels to make them appear instead, right? That counts, right, guys? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, okay, yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. The video I'm watching, it's the picture he's making out of the jewels is a mushroom from Mario.
Yeah, and that's actually probably the best thing about it is just the unique insight it gives into Nintendo's early development.
It could also be a house.
But even whether the mushroom or house aside, there are definitely elements you can identify from other early Nintendo games that you can see in Cuckoo Land.
This game looks terrible.
It's not one of my favorites. No,
I just read it's also available in Animal Crossing. It's like an unlockable game. So if you have Animal Crossing, you can play it.
Yeah. Have fun with that. And the best is... if you go to NintendoAge.com, they have instruction manual scans of nearly all the NES games. And the instruction manual shows you the picture for every single level of all the 20 levels. And like some of them are so funny. There's one that's literally the letter H. That's the hidden shape. It's just the letter H. Really, guys?
It's like you're already out of ideas.
Yep. So that's what I've been playing.
You got to play more fun games, man.
Yeah.
It's like every week you get more and more depressed. And you're like, well, I did this game for my website. And it was awful.
I didn't want to go into too shameless of a plug, but it was for my Nintendo Legend blog. And the whole point is I have to play and write a quality review for every American released NES game out there. So there's a lot of garbage on the NES, unfortunately.
So I'm looking at the instruction manual because you brought it up. And I'm a big fan of Nintendo Age. I'm on there all the time.
Yep.
And not only do they show you the answers, I guess, to every board, they have to describe it for you. So it gives you it tells you what it is underneath the picture. Like it says the letter H. Like I can't see that it's the letter H. But then some of these are like.
Oh, some of them are ridiculous. The koala bear. Like what about that looks like a koala to you?
Nothing.
And I mean. Hole?
Yeah.
It's called hole, but it just looks like a random scatter shot. Like there's no hole in the hole.
Well, like the glasses one's funny too, because it looks like they actually put eyebrows.
Yes. That extra artistic touch, but the clown is probably the creepiest.
Yeah, that one's really...
It doesn't look like a clown, but then when it does, you realize, oh, that's creepy.
That clown's been staring at me the whole time.
The whole time?
Yeah, play something better next time.
Yeah. Okay, you got it. I promise.
Play anything.
I will play literally anything else. But I have a quick question if you guys are ready for it.
I'm ready.
Is there a particular retro game you play to relieve stress? Like when you just need some stress relief, there's a classic game you can fall back on?
I don't know about classic. Like usually to relieve stress, I need something that I can just let my mind not work, and then just like my fingers and thumbs know where to go, like Guitar Hero. Like I can just, that's a pretty good stress reliever, or Grand Theft Auto, because you can just kind of run around and do whatever.
Yeah.
But what's on top of that, what's funny is those two games, terrible when I'm drunk. Those are the two worst games to play when you're intoxicated.
Really?
I bet. I can't imagine playing Guitar Hero drunk. That'd be awful.
You get so far, then you're just like, I know I can do this. I know I did it already.
Never mind that I'm pressing the buttons a half second after I should.
And you start yelling at the game. But as a stress reliever, it's great when you're sober.
Jason?
I definitely have to agree. I find very much just games where you don't have to think too much. So like Grand Theft Auto's, pretty much any open world games. Like I just finished, I shouldn't say finished, I was just playing Just Cause 2. You can literally just go around and blow things up randomly without really paying attention, which is great. In terms of retro games, probably the Grand Theft Auto 2, something like that. Something where it's not, you're not necessarily there for the plot or the mechanics. You're just there to kind of just blow stuff up, run around.
Yeah. You don't have to care. It's just all about
you. Yeah, you just waste some time. Just to calm down. Distracts you. How about you?
Well, for me, I definitely agree with you guys. I'm glad you guys mentioned about not having to think or feel too much. Like you just want to totally zone out, let your brain relax, and just go into the zone. So I'll go back to some NES games or Nintendo 64 games that I've played so much. It's almost like second nature, and it's all muscle reflex. Games like on NES Marble Madness or Rollerball, which is a pinball game. I've played them so much. I can play Rollerball for hours, which is insane because it's not exciting at all. Or a beat 'em up like Double Dragon 2 or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Those games are so mindless and repetitive that it sounds crazy to play them at any other time, but when you just need to relieve some stress, they do the job.
No, that's a great choice. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, Double Dragon 2. I mean, you just need to punch people in the face, throw them off buildings, and dragon kick them across the screen. It's wonderful. If I need some guns in there in the mix, I'll go to Perfect Dark on Nintendo 64, probably my favorite first-person shooter of all time. Those are my picks.
Good picks.
I will say Hotline Miami has become my recent stress buster of choice, though. If you need a bloody violent game, that one does it for me.
I just bought that today because he recommended it, and I've heard wonderful things.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
So, somebody explain that game to me.
Hotline Miami?
Yeah.
It's, from what I've gathered, have you seen the movie Drive?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, think 80s neon mixed with kind of Grand Theft Auto, but it's not a pure just running and shoot. It's a kind of, you have to plan room by room, and you die a lot, and it's ultra violent.
Yes, it is a fast-paced, top-down action game where you can carefully go room by room, or you can try and go guns blazing, but your mission every level is to kill every single human being inside of a building.
Wow.
So you arrive on scene and you're not done until you've killed everyone. You can do melee weapons and try and do it just with baseball bats and golf clubs. Makes less noise. You can do it one room, one or two people at a time. Or once you knock the first person down, you can grab a shotgun and see how far you can get with that. But one shot kills you and one shot kills everyone else. So it's a very intense, twitchy little trigger happy game.
Cool. I will have to check it out.
All right. Guys, ready for a musical interlude?
So ready.
I enjoy music.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. And welcome back. That was No Hard Feelings by Beta Club Field Trip. Some authentic high-energy chiptune quality for you. But now, it is time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
This is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen a retro game. We're each going to have about 2 minutes to present about it to the others. Then we're going to argue about whose is the best. But the best part is that you, the listener, get to vote for your favorite on the podcast page. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you into voting for our choice. Jason is our official timekeeper. And he's going to let me know when I can begin to present my showdown pick.
Who won the last one?
Oh yeah.
Who won the last one?
You know, we go by a 2-episode-ago system. So on episode 11, it turns out that Tom won. Tom Hall, guest starring in my place with Blastcore.
Blastcore.
Managed to beat Roller Coaster Tycoon and The Longest Journey. Which honestly surprises me. I thought Roller Coaster Tycoon had it for sure.
Me too.
Way to go, Tom. You show up once and you win the thing.
He's not allowed back on anymore.
He's not.
I know, Hunter. We leave for one episode and look what happens. Blastcore.
Unbelievable.
Jeepers.
Yeah.
Blech.
Tisk.
I thought it was funny because the comment that I left, nobody commented back to me. Everybody just liked it. I was like, oh, come on. That was my rant. Nobody's going to call me on my rant.
Those are the best, but nobody will reply. And yeah, just so you guys know out there, we love comments. It's been actually pretty nice on One More Castle. We get a few comments here and there on the articles, but the podcast pages sometimes explode into some cool questions. So feel free to jump on in. Just a heads up. Don't be shy.
Also send us email questions.
Yes, please send us email. The email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. If you're listening to this podcast, I sure hope you know how to send email, you know? So do it. Send us questions and we'll talk about them on the air. So yeah, Jason, whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
All right. You may begin.
The game I chose for this week's Retro Showdown is a game that I played a long time ago and didn't really like, but I recently came back to it and found out that it's rather unique and worth a look. It's called Clue Clue Land. It was one of the original launch titles on the 8-bit Nintendo Entertainment System console. And although it's a challenge to try and describe, I'll give it a shot. You play this lobster-fish hybrid, and it takes place in an overhead view, kind of like a Bomberman or Pac-Man. And you maneuver between pegs that form rows and columns as they are regularly placed. Your task on each of the 20 levels is to move over gaps between the pegs under which gems are hidden. In fact, they're jewels that look exactly like the rupees from Legend of Zelda. And if you find all the jewels on a given level, it forms a picture. And if you completely form the picture, you win that stage. You get bonus points for any time remaining on the time limit and proceed to the next area. There are urchin enemies that are trying to kill you. Fortunately, you have this cool little wave weapon you can fire out of your face at them. So that's Clue Clue Land. It's challenging, possibly addicting, and has some fans out there for its uniqueness. Clue Clue Land.
That's almost as bad as Jason picking a game and then writing an article about it a day later.
What? What did I do?
Oh, God.
Well, all I'm right. Ready.
Good. You may begin, Hunter.
My pick for this week's Retro Showdown winner is Rock and Roll Racing for the Super NES, released in 1993 by the company now known as Blizzard Entertainment. In Rock and Roll Racing, you have the choice of 7 different drivers, each with specific abilities, as you race for your life on a never-ending number of tracks on 6 different planets, where the player is encouraged to light up the competition with landmines, missiles, and lasers. After each race, you are awarded money depending on where you placed. With that money, you can purchase upgrades for your vehicle, change the paint scheme, or just buy a whole new vehicle altogether. The soundtrack consists of 16-bit versions of uber-popular heavy metal songs, including Paranoid by Black Sabbath, Born to be Wild by Steppenwolf, and Radar Love by Golden Earring. There is a two-player mode, both in co-op campaign and a free-for-all, where each player is all maxed out ready to take on the race. The game has tight controls, a vast amount of power-ups, and a killer soundtrack making Rock and Roll Racing the obvious choice for this week's Retro Showdown.
I guess I'll start.
Good luck.
Oh, God. All right. The game I chose this week was the classic edutainment game, Cross Country Canada. If you attended a Canadian public school in the 1990s, there's a good chance you played this excellent game. In the game, you take the role of a truck driver who is tasked with transporting goods across Canada. If you're asked to pick up steel and deliver it to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, you may first have to stop in at Thunder Bay, Ontario to pick it up. There are, of course, obstacles in the way, such as a time limit and weather elements, that slow you down and try to delay your inevitable delivery. The game is controlled via text commands, such as turn on motor, go to gas station, weather, etc., and plays very much like a text adventure with a graphical overlay. The game features stunning four-color CGA graphics and is truly a Canadian video game classic.
Did you just read your review on onemorecastle.com for that?
I summarized it.
What I'm wondering is, did you really just describe the four-color CGA graphics as stunning?
They're stunning.
They're
okay,
stupefying,
listen, Clue,
maybe.
Listen, Clue Land.
Oh, I'm listening.
Clue Land.
He's a what? He's a crab?
He's like a fish lobster, you know.
He's not. He's a bubble. His name is Bubbles.
Well, his name is Bubbles, but he's not a bubble.
Well, he's a balloon fish.
Yeah, according to the Book of Knowledge, it says the player is a bubble fish.
Yeah.
Named Bubbles.
According to the Super Mario Wiki.
Well, okay.
He's a balloon fish. Yeah, he was featured in Super Smash Bros. Melee as a trophy you could unlock.
Yes, that is his species, but my point in describing him as a lobster hybrid is always to explain the inevitable question about his claws.
He doesn't have claws. He clearly has hands here.
No, they're claws.
No, he even has it in Donkey Kong, King of Swing.
Claws are cooler than hands, man. I don't know.
But he has hands, so he's not cool.
Okay, fine. He has hands. Ooh.
There we go.
All right, hands.
Clue Land seems like one of those games that Nintendo released, and they really want everybody to like it, and
no one
does.
Did you hear, Jason? Correction. Clue Hand.
I'm sorry, Clue Hand?
Yes.
That Nintendo wants everybody to like, so they put him in all these really great games like Smash Brothers Melee and DK King of Swing, which is a great game. It was also on, apparently, WarioWare Smooth Moves for the Wii. And they released it for the e-reader, the Game Boy Advance, the e-reader.
The e-reader.
The e-reader.
Yeah. Yep.
One of the worst attachments, right next to the U-Force, the e-reader.
Did Rock and Roll Racing make it onto the e-reader?
No, of course not.
Clue Hands did.
Yeah, because they're trying to recoup their money from the failure it was in the 80s.
That's kind of what it looks like. I mean, with it being an unlockable game in Animal Crossing.
Yeah. Huh.
I think it's an honor. I mean, Clue Land is happy to be chosen for these peripherals. It's not like Nintendo would put a game on there that nobody likes. That would be a terrible decision.
It's like Nintendo realizes some poor jackass is going to go, you know what? Clue Land. That's a wise investment of my money.
Maybe not wise, but fun. You know, games are to be enjoyed, not invested in. So, Jason.
Cross Country Canada.
Can we talk about Cross
Country Canada? It's genius.
Oh. Hunter, is it just me, or do I really, really wish one of us had picked Oregon Trail right now?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, man. Because Oregon Trail is about 10 bazillion times better than Cross Country Canada. That is an exact scientific measurement, by the way. I played both of them just to find out.
It's a Google's worth better.
Whoa. That's a huge number.
It's a Google number. That's how big the Google number is.
Whoa.
Cross country. So are you're driving around an RV?
No, you're driving a Transmart truck.
But you're not driving. You're entering text.
No. But you go, you type in, let's say you're in Timmins, Ontario. You type in drive north.
Yeah, that sounds like the worst control scheme ever.
No, it's quite genius. It makes you learn directions on a map.
Now, Hunter, your racing game involves driving, correct?
Yeah, that's one of... Yes.
You mean the Micro Machines ripoff?
No.
That actually is a good point.
Let Bailey speak.
Thank you, Hunter. We'll get to that ripoff point in a bit. But can you imagine trying to play Rock and Roll Racing via text commands?
No.
That would be awful, wouldn't it?
Like this game. Yeah, it'd be awful.
Ugh.
Look at this isn't a racing game.
So I get, okay.
All right.
Now, obviously, being about Canada,
yeah,
probably there's not going to be a lot of people other than Canadians who are going to play this game.
Unless you want to learn about Canada.
Because, I mean, who wants to learn about Canada?
Bailey, did wow. you? Bailey, did you not have a Canadian history course?
I did, actually, in high school.
Oh, there we go. Someone wants to learn about Canada.
Were you required to take it, Bailey?
I was.
So it wasn't an option. It's not something you wanted to do.
I didn't mind doing it, but what you said is correct, yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't mind taking out the trash, but it's got to be done. You don't want fleas.
Whoa. First Bailey insults New Jersey last week. You paid for.
Yes, and now you're insulting all of
Canada.
It's not like they don't listen to this podcast. They don't have internet up in Canada, do they? Well, the Wii U does. The Wii U Mini coming out for Canada only. That doesn't have internet. So, I mean,
it's for our chalets, according to Nintendo.
The cottages.
Wow. I hate this. This
cross country Canada.
It's text genius. Commands. You can't drive with a keyboard. That's
yeah.
silly.
Yeah, you can. You can type speed. You can type stop.
Oh, that's so weird.
Speeding is great because the cops pull you over or you crash.
I just think
that doesn't sound like fun. Why would I want to get pulled over? That is not a great game. Getting pulled over
it teaches you about right and wrong.
You know what I'd rather do? Rather than getting pulled over, I'd rather pay taxes.
Oh, wow.
I would rather pay taxes. Wow.
And this is the guy who said that was the worst game concept ever.
I do like to point out that the taxes won.
Yeah, that's fine. That's not going to change my opinion.
That's going to just make me depressed if we bring that up.
Going to make me cry like Jason.
Could I read a quote for everyone?
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
If I said no, would you listen to me anyway?
No, I wouldn't.
All right.
This is a quote from a website that is mentioned somewhat frequently on the podcast. Quote, "I don't get Clu-Clu-Land. Yeah, it's one of those games. I find it annoying and feel no desire to play it." Now, sound like?
Yeah, what is that? What does one of those games mean?
Yeah, could you elaborate, Bailey, on your statement? On your Clu-Clu-Land review where you clearly rip apart Clu-Clu-Land?
It's true, I don't like it, but it's a pretty cool game.
It doesn't matter.
I don't like it, but you should vote for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's a pretty cool game.
Now, guys, I am not going to sit here and pretend like I am the end-all, be-all expert of every game ever. I am not so prideful as to think that my listeners' opinions are always going to line up with mine 100%. This is my way of acknowledging that Clu-Clu-Land is very distinctive. It's unique. It's quirky. It's not my kind of thing, but I know it has its fans.
Indeed, as you point out, it's more of a tech demo or a novelty than a real video game.
That's certainly how it feels to me, but tech demos are always popular, and there's some people who are super into them. I mean, our retro showdown is a democracy, or a democratic process at least. I'm counting on those voters to go for it because of their fondness for it. And I think I can even play devil's advocate and make a case for it, even though, I don't really like it. Laugh now. When Clu-Clu-Hand beats you in voting, you'll be laughing.
That's not going to happen. That's ridiculous.
How do you figure, Mr. Rock and Roll Racing?
Because my game rocks. It's in the title.
I mean, he's got you there.
Well, that's true. There is a rock in the title. I'm just surprised it's not in claymation, considering it was made by Interplay. That would have actually made the graphics better, in my opinion. But what do I know?
Rock and Roll Racing?
I don't find anything wrong with the graphics.
They're not great, Hunter. I hate to break it to you.
Well, the game's more about speed. I mean, you got to cut down the frame rate a little bit.
You know what Super Nintendo game very effectively conveys a sense of speed?
Clu-Clu-Land?
No. F-Zero. That's a Super Nintendo game that has an excellent portrayal of speed. Rock and Roll Racing, it's kind of like the bumper cars at the local fair.
Do you want to know why it's like that?
Why is it like that, Jason?
Because according to the Book of Knowledge, it got its logic slash AI engine from the 1985 game Racing Destruction Set. It stole its programming from a Commodore 64 game.
Oh, that is awful.
And I think it performs extremely well on the Super NES.
It came out 3 years later than F-Zero and looks about 10 years older.
F-Zero used Mode 7. That's way different.
Yeah, way better.
Name one game that wasn't made by Nintendo that used Mode 7.
Mega Man X2?
I think actually that was the first game to use Mode 7 that was outside of Nintendo.
So I'm correct.
Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time, Secret of Mana, Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6, Super Mario RPG.
Jason, be quiet. You're killing my argument.
Super Star Wars, Chrono Trigger, ActRaiser, Exhaust Heat, 7 Saga, Top Gear, Axley.
Can I point out, I didn't even read mine from a list. I genuinely thought about one and then just came up with it. Like,
I Googled it.
Come on, Hunter. You got Mr. Google and Mr. From the Brain here, both deflating your argument.
Damn. Your game's just a crappy game from the 80s with a slick coat of paint.
I'd rather play Micro Machines on Game Boy.
I'd rather play Micro Machines on Game Boy.
Now, that's not true. Come on.
Yes,
come
it
on.
Is.
No. Yeah, that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rock and Roll Racing has a very large community base still to this day. People are still playing, so it's got to be good enough, at least for that. I mean, they're hacking into it. You can play four players online. There's all new maps you can play now that are user-created. I mean, that's huge. You can't say that about Cross Country Canada. People want to forget that game. They don't want to want to hack it to make it better. No.
Whoa. Are you talking about mods?
No, I'm talking about hacking. ROM hacking.
ROM hacking.
Correct.
There's a difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hunter, I'd like to point out, I bet there are thousands of people who eat their own poop, but the popularity of something alone does not make it good or defensible.
That is the worst argument I have ever heard.
It's not.
It's completely valid.
It's true. It's called coprophagia.
You could have picked something way different than eating your own poop, man. Come on.
He went there.
Yeah, like Rock and Roll Racing on Super Nintendo, basically the same thing.
Who doesn't like 16-bit versions of popular heavy metal songs? Come on.
Why don't I just put on Micro Machines, boot up my heavy metal CD or record or what have you? And...
You don't have any of those, do you?
I do. They're in the corner here.
I mean...
Because you can't blow things up. That's the beauty of it. You can blow up other cars.
In Micro Machines, you can do that too.
Not with like weapons and stuff.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, the one tank? That's it?
The warrior vehicle can do it, too.
Yeah, that blows you up, too. That's not fair.
It's not about fairness. You were just saying you couldn't blow up with anything else. All right. I admit, we're leaning on the Micro Machines comparison a lot, but it's only because it's really, truly notable that a Game Boy game is more fun and looks better than your Super Nintendo pick this week, Hunter.
That's just not true. I think you're really upset because your game's just boring and dumb.
It's not boring. It's really fast-paced and nerve-wracking. When that timer gets down, I get super anxious. I hate the game because it's so intense. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's right. You got nothing.
There wasn't a lot of games that use Mode 7. That's weird.
It was expensive. If you put the chip in there, you had to jack up the price just to make up for it. Cross Country Canada? Really?
Yeah, Cross Country Canada. It's a classic.
Why did you pick it, though?
For various reasons. One, that's a great edutainment title. Two.
That's an oxymoron.
Are you saying Oregon Trail sucks?
I'm saying in the pantheon of edutainment games, Oregon Trail firmly stands at the top, but Oregon Trail is not the game I would pick if I wanted to sit down and play a video game.
I'd rather play Mavis Bacon Teaches Typing.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Burn.
Cross Country Canada.
Cross Country Canada. You know what? Canadians love it because it's great. There's also Cross Country USA, way less successful.
Well, yeah, because we had Oregon Trail. We didn't need a cheap ripoff of a Canadian game.
Amen to that. As well. Did you have, like, Saskatchewan Trail?
Nope.
Newfoundland Trail?
Nope.
Prince Edward Island Trail?
I'm surprised you know your provinces.
I took Canadian history in high school. I told you guys.
Because he had to.
On cross-country Canada.
He had to take it. Wasn't a choice. He was forced to learn Canadian history, and that is un-American.
It sounds super awkward. You're going to sit in that chair, and you're going to learn about Canada.
Everybody turn on your computers. We're playing cross-country Canada again. Oh, yes. Man, right now.
It's like torture.
Quit your crying, you baby.
I'd rather eat poop.
You'd eat poop. This is terrible. Terrible argument. This is terrible.
So I've heard that in cross-country Canada, you can pick up hitchhikers.
You can.
Can you really?
What do they do to you when you pick them up?
Can you kill them?
No, you can't kill them. You either drive them to their destination and they give you some money.
Or
there's the possibility they'll mug you.
What? Because that teaches good values. Don't pick up hitchhikers. They'll mug you.
It's teaching children not to talk to strangers.
So wait. So I'm trying to visualize this in my mind. So does like a message come up and say you're being mugged? Do you type stop or
no, it says,
kick out mugger or
it says something like you've been mugged, hitchhiker has left the truck or whatever, and that's it.
That sucks.
You're screwed.
So you can't like run over mugger.
No, it's not a violent game.
Command not recognized.
No.
What about
you could turn your lights on and off.
That's not a feature. That just sounds boring.
You could
boring.
Turn your windshield wipers on and off when it rains.
That doesn't make me want to play it, Jason. I can go out and do that on a real
driving,
life vehicle.
If you're driving at night and don't turn your lights on, there's a chance you'll cause an accident. And then you won't be able to deliver your goods in time.
Who wants to play a game where you can get pulled over or mugged? That is not fun. Those activities are not fun.
Sounds fun to me.
I would rather blow something up or create a picture out of gems.
Oh, come on. You're driving along the vast expanses of Saskatchewan, farmland, and you decide to speed when a cop sees you and pulls you over.
You know what
teaches you a lesson.
You know what my game teaches children? There are hidden treasures everywhere, and urchins suck.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You can't argue with that. Clue hand.
Ugh. Sea urchins.
Ugh. Hate them.
Clue land.
You heard me.
You know what?
What? What?
I'm playing it right now.
Oh, okay.
I found a web-hosted version.
See, it's so cool. You can play it on the web.
It's awful.
There's secret characters in Rock and Roll Racing.
Really?
Yeah, there's Olaf from the Lost Vikings. You can play. He's a driver that you can select.
Did you say they had never-ending tracks?
There's a never-ending amount of tracks.
Kind of like driving through Canada.
No, we end. It's just big. You're just jealous my country's bigger than your country.
Yeah, that's what we're jealous about.
Yep.
Can you go in space?
Space?
Yeah.
Why would I want to go in space? I'm delivering stuff.
What are you delivering exactly?
Food and goods.
That's it? Just goods? You can't, like, take the goods and drive somewhere else?
You could. You could drive to, like, if you're in Quebec and they want you to deliver to Vancouver, you could instead drive it to Newfoundland and try to drop off that steel.
Do you get those crappy Call of Duty, like, return back to battlefield kind of warnings when you're outside the Providence?
They don't tell you.
Pretty sure my game takes place in space.
I think it does. I mean, you got to fly through space in my game to get to different planets.
But does your game star a fish?
I think one of the drivers is fish-like.
Oh, well.
You can deliver fish in my game.
Wow. Well, I...
Because my truck's going to smell like fish the whole time? That's terrible.
It's refrigerated in the back.
I sit corrected. I had no idea that we all picked fish-related games. I take it back.
There's you the title for the podcast.
You sit corrected.
Episode 13, fish-related games.
With simultaneous play.
Yes.
I can't help it. I got spoonerism.
You got Mondegreens over there. You got portmanteaus.
I'm going to have to say, for being in space, These car designs suck.
What do you get? Really? Upgrade them. You can get a hovercraft. You can get a battle tank.
I'm watching it right now. It's just like generic trucks.
Yeah, no, that's the first couple of levels. Yeah, it's just like generic trucks and like a VW Beetle kind of a thing.
See, but the first level is where you should hook gamers, where you should have something that gets them addicted, where you should have something that really pulls them in. Like in my game, the first level is a happy face. That gets you excited, you know, and happy to play.
Well, the thing that brings you in is Loudmouth Larry. That's what brings you in, Loudmouth Larry.
I don't even want to know about Loudmouth Larry. Sounds like the kind of guy Jason would pick up by the side of the road.
He probably. He's an announcer.
He's a hitchhiker.
He's the commentator. He tells you what's going on in the game when people are going to blow up, and when you're way far ahead, he'll let
you
know.
Way far ahead?
Well, he'll say like somebody's really far behind you.
Oh, okay.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, announcers.
Does it have a good password system?
It does. It's actually, the password system is so good that they actually went into where the password system, you can basically reprogram the game. Somebody created a QBasic program that creates passwords for you. How cool is that?
A little less cool than Cross Country Canada.
Yeah.
That's, this game was, Cross Country Canada was probably programmed in QBasic.
At least my game doesn't even have a password system.
Yeah, it's one hit and you're dead and you can start over.
I know. How intense is that, right? Life or death.
Those are the dangers of retro gaming.
That's right. It's true, man.
Crappy one-hit deaths.
Yep.
And stairs, apparently. That was a good one.
Yeah, speaking of which, shout out to Joshua. Good work lately on your retro hate column. I've been enjoying it. Been nice to hear you rail against one-hit kills and annoying stairs. Keep up the great work.
Katarina Lyons. She's the fish-looking one. She looks like a catfish.
What? Is she a player? Character?
Yeah, she's one of the racers.
Katarina Lyons?
Lyons, yeah.
Isn't she supposed to be a lion?
No, I think she looks like a catfish.
Her last name is Lyons.
Oh, okay, so Jake Badlands, does that mean he's a bad land? Come on, Jason. That's
no, he's from the Badlands.
That's logic you would find in Cross Country Canada right there.
It's like Snake Sanders. He's going to be snake-like.
No, it's just a name like anything else.
Cyberhawk. He should have like a cybernetic mohawk.
Guess what the protagonist in my game's name is?
Crap.
Bubbles.
Yes, crap bubbles. That's disgusting, Hunter. Ugh.
Hey, you were talking about eating poo earlier, so just continuing on with the trend.
If you remember why, I was comparing an activity to your game.
That's like your genocide argument. It was just
that was my argument.
Was it?
Yeah.
Whatever. It's just terrible.
Everything's terrible.
All right, fine. Closing arguments. Hunter, why should listeners vote for your game, Rock and Roll Racing?
Rock and Roll Racing is a fun, blow-up-your-friends racing kind of game with killer music added onto it. Killer.
No. Oh. So you don't mind genocide, but killing people's cool. I see how it is.
Yep. Bring it on.
All right, Jason, you heard the man. Bring it on. Your closing argument. Why should listeners vote for Cross Country Canada?
Because it's Canadian, eh?
All right.
Okay.
Ask again.
What?
What?
Ask again?
Sorry?
Is that your final answer?
Why? That's my final answer.
Okay, well, then...
It's Canadian, eh?
I'm going to go ahead and say my closing argument for Clue Land is there is no game like it. You can't compare anything to it. It's comparison proof. It is absurd and ridiculous, and it is a unique window into Nintendo's early history. Some shout-outs for this episode for Ben Landis. Thanks for letting us use your music for the intro and outro. You guys can check him out at TheBenLandis on Twitter. Thanks to the Interlude artist. This was Beta Club Field Trip with their track No Hard Feelings. You can download that on the podcast page. And I like Jason's idea of shouting out a random Twitter person. So, Jason, do you mind if I borrow that?
You may go right ahead.
All right, I'm going to check my recent mentions, and I'm going to go ahead and give a shout out to Shake_Well. Goes by the name Joe D on Twitter, and, well, he goes by Shake_Well. His name is Joe. But he's always good for some provocative retro gaming opinions, so say hi to him. Let him know I shouted him out. Jason, you got any shout outs tonight?
You can follow me at Jason Lamb on Twitter. And I'd like to give a shout out to, let me see here.
So now you guys are making me want to do this.
You know what? I'll give a shout out to, wait, almost got it. At Eric Hunter.
Hey, that's me.
A shout out to you.
Well, thanks, Jason.
Anytime.
You're so nice. Hunter, any shout outs?
Yeah, you can find me at Eric Hunter on Twitter. And I will give a shout out to at Jason Lamb.
Oh, thanks.
No problem.
Oh, you guys. And remember, you can email us podcast@onemorecastle.com. We haven't been getting a lot of emails lately, so it's pretty likely we'll talk about what you email us about. We would love to get overwhelmed with emails this week, so send them on in. And on one final note, listeners, thanks for putting up with us as we range in our arguments quickly back and forth from legitimate to ludicrous. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.